Does everyone have one of the sheets that I passed out? We have the rules going around. I'd like you to read at least the first paragraph on the sheet if you haven't got to that yet. And listen to the Tabernacle Choir on a short number. Not the one. In the year 26 A.D., scholars think located right about this area here, near Capernaum, which was here, and Bethsaida, which was over here, Jesus prayed all night, one night, to our Father in heaven, to his Father. And on the following day, he chose his disciples. I'm sure that we can imagine the thing he was praying about the night before, if on the following day he chose his disciples. I'm sorry, chose from among his disciples, his apostles. Now these men were Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, called Zelotes, Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which as the Bible states, was also the traitor. Now he had a great following. There were many people that had come from the towns around here and had followed him up into this region. And it was there that he gave the famed Sermon on the Mount, perhaps the greatest discourse of all time. Many scholars think that this was more than just a talk to this congregation. In fact, some scholars of the New Testament, instead of calling this the Sermon on the Mount, have called it the ordination sermon. In other words, he had now ordained these 12 apostles and was giving them instructions following their ordination to their calling. But it was not private to them, at least I'm sure they had some private instruction somewhere that probably it was not even recorded. But the disciples and the other followers in this area were also to hear this marvelous discourse. I give you some references on this sheet as to where you find this. Our lesson is to be a discussion on blessed be ye poor and some of the aspects of that. Now, Jesus started the Sermon on the Mount with one of the Beatitudes, which are numbered in various ways. You can get anywhere from about 6 to 9 Beatitudes, depending on how you want to break things down. He started it, as Luke says in 6:20. Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Now, many people thought that the Messiah, when he would come with great temporal powers and glory. He'd sweep away, perhaps with armies, the enemies of the Jews. And that Solomon and all the glory of his realm would sort of be restored. Only it'd still be better than it was when Solomon's glories were around. Now, many people of this mind, of course, and the curious, had followed Jesus there to the north of the Sea of Galilee just to see what was going to happen. What was this going to be like? Was this the Messiah? And I'm certain many of them were very disappointed in whom Christ chose as his disciples and in the sermon that he delivered. Because what did Jesus do? Did he pick the important men of the day? No, he wasn't considered important himself by the so-called important men of the day. But he chose from among those who were poor. They were unknown in the main, and they were humble. How are these men going to bring us our great salvation that we have looked forward to? They have no power, they have no influence. I'm sure they were very disappointed. But, you see, Jesus was teaching a lesson. Not only in who he appointed, but the lesson that he has taught time and time again is that we do not rely on the arm of flesh or the power and influence of men for building God's kingdom. Rely on God himself. Jesus time and time again said that he was teaching what his Father had told him. He was the emissary of his Father. And he said, beware of those who come in their own name. Jesus came in his Father's name. Well, in the book of Judges, there is a man whose name was Gideon, who was one of the judges. And some, you've heard of the Gideon Society. It's businessmen who around 1900 organized as a group to put Bibles in hotels. Now they also put them in motels. But if you go to a hotel or motel, open the right drawer on the dresser, you'll almost always see a Bible in there. And if you open it, it will say, placed by the Gideons. Now the Gideons' motto, so to speak, is to put your trust in God and not in the arm of flesh. And there is what is called the Gideon test. And it refers to the story of Gideon in the book of Judges, where he had 20,000 warriors to go against the hated Midianites. The Midianites were a raiding band, sort of like the modern Bedouins. They did not go to conquer a country and rule a country, but they would just plunder. They would attack and take things, steal, and just upset things and keep things in an uproar. And they did this so much to the Jews that they hated these Midianites. Well, he had 20,000 soldiers, Gideon did, to go against the Midianites. And the Lord stopped him and said, don't take the 20,000. If the 20,000 conquer the Midianites, you, Gideon, will take the credit. You'll say you did it. And they'll say, we did it. And that the Lord did not do it. So he said, call them together and tell those who are afraid and would like to leave and go back to your homes. So he called them together. Half of them left, 10,000 of them. Then with the rest of them, the Lord said, it's still too many. If they win the battle, you will say that you did it of your own power and your own strength. So we got to get rid of some more of them. So give them this test. Tell them to go down to the river and drink. And those who get down on their hands and knees and drink like a dog, tell them to go home. But those who use their hand and lap up the water, I'm sure there's no particular, at least I don't see any particular significance to this, except the Lord knew how that there'd be a smaller number do that. Just a second, Rob. So they went down to the water, and 300 of them drank in the way the Lord said. So the Lord said, go to battle with the 300. Rob, you had a point.
The reason he was wondering, the guys who had a drink like a dog had to put down their weapons. And the guys who would lap it up with one hand would be holding onto their weapons with the other, so they'd be prepared to meet the enemy. And that was the reason.
Okay, I think I've heard that too. Good. So, he went against the city with 300 men, and they used some stratagem to do that. But they licked the Midianites with 300 men, and had to recognize with that small an army that the Lord was the one who had a hand in their affairs and was the reason that they had won it. Well, this was a Gideon's test for people to see the Lord pick these poor, simple men in the eyes of the elite of the day to be the leaders of this new kingdom. They couldn't see that. They couldn't see that if the Lord was with those men, that's all they needed. They needed no more than for the Lord to be with them. Now this first beatitude, blessed be ye poor. The Lord has often said that it is hard for a rich man to get the kingdom of heaven. The poor seem to always be involved in great things in the Lord's kingdom. But there are some other things that are taught here. It's amazing how many things there are in the scripture. You read this, blessed be the poor, in Matthew. I think I've given you the reference somewhere. 5:3. There it says, blessed be the poor in spirit. It adds in spirit. And we can take from that that a man must have humility if he is to enter the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit, I believe, is usually interpreted to mean he's teachable, he has humility, he's not tucked up in himself. Then if you go to Christ's appearance to the Nephites, as it is recorded in 3 Nephi, and there's a parallel situation where he calls 12 disciples, and then he gives them the ordination sermon, if we want to call it that. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit who come unto me. Which puts another connotation to the thing. You've not only got to be teachable and humble, but you've got to accept Jesus Christ and come unto him. I think of the latter day and Joseph Smith. Who did the Lord come to restore the church in this latter time? Many people have asked that question. Important men of the day said, if the Lord was to restore his church on earth because it had been taken away, why didn't he come to me? I'm a great authority on the scriptures. I'm an ordained minister. I'm an important person. I have great and far-ranging influence. Why didn't the Lord come to me to build the kingdom? Well, he came to the poor. Joseph Smith's family was poor. Not only that, he came to a boy, 14 years of age. Now, that's pretty difficult for a lot of people to take. They cannot pass the Gideon's test. But it doesn't matter. They don't need to come to the rich and the wealthy, the influential. If the Lord is there, the job will get done. And I'm sure most of us recognize that the Lord, in coming to a 14-year-old lad who had had the trials of being poor, was teachable. Whereas a person who had been trained in the ministry and gone to college and had all these things might be pretty difficult to change his ways. We have an opportunity in the church with respect to the poor to do something. President Kimball has asked us in many ways to lengthen our stride in this day. We have heard on several occasions how he has asked us to lengthen our stride in the field of missionary work. He has also asked us to lengthen our stride in the field of the payment of voluntary fast offerings and the observance of the fast. In fact, he's asked us to double what we're doing now in the way of paid per capita fast offerings. Now, many of us in this modern day and age say, the government takes so much money away from me in taxes to help poor people, why should I contribute in addition to my church to help poor people? Well, I'll tell you, there's a difference. I think we get so we resent what the government takes away from us in income tax. And we don't really have a good feeling about any help that might be derived from other people handling and spending that money in an involuntary contribution, if we might call it that. But within the church, it's still a voluntary contribution. It's not taken from you. You have to give it up. You're encouraged to do it, but still it's voluntary. And I think we can get a better feeling from the voluntary contribution than we come from the involuntary one. America itself has been built in great measure by the poor. Just as the song said, these teeming masses of poor people have come here for various reasons, and perhaps the main reason was for spiritual reasons, to do things that the Lord wanted done. Those who already have it made with wealth and power and influence are not the ones to come here and build a land on which the Lord can reestablish his church. It's the people who are poor, and particularly poor in spirit, who are teachable and were willing to learn. We think of our own pioneers in this day and in recent time in our church. Most of them were poor, but they had the Lord with them. They were teachable. They had humbled themselves and were willing to come unto Jesus as he had bid them. So I think that in our relative wealth, which we possess in this day, compared to the rest of the world, we are rich beyond their wildest dreams. That we need to be cognizant of the great contribution of those who have been poor or are poor, and not put them out of our mind. And in closing, we heard the Tabernacle Choir sing this song, for which the words are so beautiful. Let's sing it. And I've asked Virginia to play it, even though she hasn't had a chance to practice it. So let's sing this song. John, will you lead it? Okay. Twice. You sing the words twice. Just like the Tabernacle Choir. These words that are on the base of the Statue of Liberty express one of the high ideals of this nation. I think that we have some loss with respect to the ideals of this wonderful country, which we know is a land that was chosen, a land in which Jesus himself came in these latter days and restored again his gospel upon the earth. I hope that we as young people will renew and reinforce ourselves with respect to our love of this country. Not to the exclusion of the love the people have for other countries, but for the special purpose for which this country was set up. Let's all rededicate and find our ideals, and not let the distracting forces that are going on in this country create the enmity and the disunity and the things that are pulling it apart that there seem to be at the present time. Let's be a good influence towards the preservation of this country and all it has had to offer, not only us, but the world. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this class that we've been able to have today. We're thankful for Brother Hall and the things that he has taught us about our country, and we're thankful that America has been able to build from poor people the great nation that it is. We're thankful for this inspired country and for the leaders that we have, for our church leaders. Bless us to always remember our loyalty to our country and the divinely inspired nation that it is. Bless us to be able to help in the growth of this country also, that we might go forward in strength towards the coming of thy kingdom. Bless us to have thy spirit with us this day, being Sunday, and especially since it's fasting, that we might progress spiritually as thou would have us to. This we say in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.